You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 79. And Jason, tis the season of politics and voting. And the endless question, it seems, this question comes up every single year, at least it seems to me, or maybe at least every presidential year. Should Christians vote? Should they be engaged in the political process? What should that look like? And I want to say, as a starting point, as Christians, I think we should vote, and we'll talk about that more here in a minute, but we vote not as people who have no hope, to use that example, or to use that phrase that we would commonly use in a funeral. You know, we say we grieve as those who we do not grieve as those who do not have hope in relationship to somebody who, if they were a believer in Jesus Christ, will be reunited with them in the presence and glory of Christ. I would say the same is true when it comes to politics. While we do vote, we do not vote as people who have no hope. And what do we mean by that? Well, I think, Jason, the best example or the best way to present it is the way that the Apostle Peter does in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he begins his book there. He says, to the temporary residents dispersed all throughout, you know, these various areas of Asia. And then he says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it is an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being protected by God's power through the faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. You rejoice in this, though now for a short time you have to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined, though refined by fire, may result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the point is to say that while we vote, while we engage in the process, we do not do it as the world does it. We do not do it as the sum total of our hope, the sum total of our investment, our entire future is wrapped up in who gets elected president or who holds the Senate or who gets to appoint the judges or who holds Congress. But instead, it's a recognition that, yes, while we are here on this earth, we are not ultimately in our home. Our home is with Christ. If you believe in Jesus, if you are born again into the full life of Christ, what we have to look forward to is so much better than anything here. And so when we keep that in proper perspective, then the fading questions of even the anxiety that so easily invades our hearts of like, oh, but, you know, what if this candidate wins and then, you know, they crack down on our faith and on the church and everything we hold dear in this life. Yeah, but keep in mind, this life is not all there is. In fact, this life is just a mere taste, just a small taste of the glory of God. So, Jason, in light of that understanding, which I think is the most important place to start this discussion, should a Christian vote? Especially given that, you know, there are those who run around and they say Christians have no business in politics. There's even pastors who say, you know, our job here is to make disciples, which is true. And we shouldn't muddy that up by talking about politics or engaging or anything. So how would you begin that discussion of answering the question, okay, I've come to you, Jason, should I vote?
You know, I mean, one of the things that probably we could all benefit from is learning some history, learning about all that has gone into forming a democracy and the fact that it's really historically, from a historical standpoint, it's really kind of astonishing that people have this power to vote and actually have a say on who rules and governs over them in the land. I think that alone should be appreciated for people as they make this decision on whether or not to vote. I think probably there's a few things that you need to consider. Number one, as you've been highlighting, Jamie, this world is not all there is. So your vote is not the biggest thing you can do. It's important. I'm going to argue it's important, and I think I agree with Jamie. I think overall, I would say it's what we're called to do in a general sense. I'll kind of specify that in a bit, but I also think it's important to realize, you know, there are some things that we're called to that can make a big difference apart from voting. And so voting should almost be a subset, not the main thing. That's the way I would want to look at it. Number one, we're called to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, meaning whatever means of grace God gives us, we should use those to serving him, to bringing glory to him, to worshiping him, making the gospel known, for example. We should be working to that end, ultimately, for God's glory. So if we vote, then we should be voting for God's glory, not our own. And that should be our mindset. But also, you know, going off that greatest commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is one where, you know, so much of the Bible talks about the importance of seeking justice for the oppressed, seeking to care for those who are hurting. You know, Micah is often quoted these days with all the language about justice that's in the world. And the big factor there is, yeah, God cares about justice. And there's things we can certainly do through the voting process to contribute to that. But also recognizing, you know, full and ultimate justice is something only God can bring. And that's important to remember, too. And, you know, whoever you vote for, we got to recognize they are just a man. They're a mere man or woman who they certainly can't bring the kind of justice that our heart truly longs for. So don't go to the voting booth thinking that it is the world-changing course of action that you're taking. I know it's often framed in those ways. I think it's important, but I just think it's good to have that perspective that this is about God, his glory, and ultimately he's going to work out his plan. For instance, Romans 13 says that every governing authority has been established by God. Now, I mentioned earlier, Jamie, that democracy as we have it in America is relatively new on the scene in the world history. It hasn't changed. It's still God establishing his governing authorities. He didn't somehow like back away and he's like, oh, you guys figured out democracy. Now I'll let you take over. No, he's still in control of who sits in the Oval Office, who you know, who sits in positions of authority all over the world. And, you know, the nations are under his sovereign reign ultimately. That's important to remember. But I do think that there is, and we talked about stewardship last week, Jamie, and I think there's a big element to voting regarding stewardship with voting as well, in the sense that if we have been given an incredible privilege, really, to be able to have a say in government, and we can actually do something and contribute to this process, this you know, what we hope and pray is a fair and just process of electing officials to lead us, and we can do something about that to the glory of God and to good ends that serve our neighbors, then we should, because this is something we don't want to take for granted. I know it's amazing when you talk to people from other countries and get their take on this, because they look at America as this is pretty incredible that you have this kind of government established here, and to throw it away or to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter, that's definitely not the right approach. To say voting is just not worth my efforts because it's this worldly thing, that's not right, because we're to be engaging our world and working for its good. Jamie, I mean, I think of Jeremiah 29:7, which says, pray and work for the welfare of the city in which you live. So we're not just to, you know, long for the heavenly city. We're actually to pray and work for the good of the city. In other words, the current world that we're a part of, the nation we're a part of. And it's interesting that God even said that to Hebrews, who were in Babylon at the time. So they were in a very godless nation at the time. They worshiped all kinds of gods, just not the right God. And many would say, I've given up on voting simply because America has taken a godless turn and it's gone away from its roots, or whatever you'd say. But it's almost like disengagement seems like the holy and right thing to do because of that. And again, I would say that's not what God told the Hebrews who were in Babylon. He didn't say that they would change everything about Babylon, obviously, but he did say you can do something. Number one, you can pray. Number two, you can work for their good. And if you see voting as part of that working for the good of the country, I would say it is. So I would say the only times, that this is where I was talking about earlier, there's maybe exceptions, would be, well, actually, I'll leave it there for a second. Let me ask you, Jamie, where would you see, or do you see any cases where voting, abstaining from voting might actually be the right course of action for a Christian who wants to honor God?
Yeah, I think there can be. So, you know, to sort of follow up on your point before, you know, as good citizens, we've certainly been given this opportunity to do it. And like we already discussed, we don't do it as our hope. You know, politics isn't our God. The government isn't our glory, ultimately. So yeah, it's fine to be disappointed. Let's say if, you know, a candidate you support or like doesn't win, it's like, oh, that's a bummer. Sometimes it's frustrating, especially when you know what the consequences would be, right? Elections do have consequences. We've heard that a lot this week, if you've been paying attention to, the Supreme Court, nominee hearings that have been going on in the Senate. I've had them on in my office as I'm, you know, working on paperwork and things, and just sort of amazed by some of the stuff I hear. But it sort of draws out for me, it's a great question, Jason. It really is. And especially right now when, let's be honest, while our current president, I think he's done from my political perspective, I think he's done a really pretty good job in terms of policy and governance and that sort of stuff. Jason and I both, just for full transparency, are pretty conservative guys politically, theologically, you know, across the board. But that said, he's an individual that has really pretty terrible character. And I think that's a pretty well-noted, well-documented fact. And the point here isn't to call him out or to call out his supporters and be like, oh, you guys are all bad or anything like that. But it really creates a moral dilemma. Because fundamentally, when it comes to voting, you know, I'm thinking, okay, what does God say about this? What does he say about these issues? What does he say about our design as a people, as a nation, you know? And we try to vote best in line with the word of God, recognizing, you know, think of in the book of Proverbs, in the wisdom literature there, we're given that there's two ways of following wisdom. And one of them is the fear of the Lord, and it results in all the good things, right? The wise, the successful, the best design for us as humans. And the other option is what's called the wisdom of man, and the end thereof is death. And we certainly see that, you know, just using this Supreme Court debate, one group of people, I won't say who, but you know, it's pretty obvious, is actually arguing for death in a very real way. And another side is arguing for life. And primarily, that side is coming from a perspective of Judeo-Christian understanding. Not to say they're all Christians. I don't believe they all are. But they come from that understanding of the wisdom of God is best for us. However, when you get into a situation, and Jason, I think you should respond to this too, because maybe we have a little bit different perspective on this. Actually, probably somewhat similar, but also a little different as well. We have to take, I believe, we have to take somebody's moral character into consideration in our voting as well. I mean, we don't just take into consideration policy. And I know there are those other Christians, and I'm not critiquing them, that say, you know, we only look at policy. We don't look at the person. And I would say, you know, from a Christian perspective, we always look at character. I mean, that's a big part of who we are. And so we have to deal with that. So to get very specific, just to use this example, I'm pretty well known for not voting for Donald Trump. I didn't in 2012. And then, of course, I didn't this year as well. I actually just filled out my ballot the other night and then turned it in here to our county auditor's office. But I didn't vote for Trump. And again, the reason wasn't because I don't support his policies. I would say 85% of his policies I agree with. There's a few that I don't really like. Again, you know, kind of coming from more biblical moral reasoning that I'm not a huge fan of. But overall, I support his policies, and I've never shied away from that. And I've had several people ask me recently, you know, why, if I support his policies, would I not support him as a candidate? And ultimately, it just comes down to, you know, there's a level of bad character that just before the Lord, I wasn't comfortable voting with. However, the rest of my family took a different tact and a different approach. And so these are difficult issues, Jason. Anybody who says, you know, that it's black and white one way or another hasn't really been paying attention. So I would say, yes, there's a time for saying, you know what, I recognize that the alternative is really bad in terms of our design, in terms of what God's wisdom says, in terms of what's good for us as a people. And yet I just have to, in a sense, protest vote that we see very, very poor character. And I think that's okay. I think there's a place for that. That doesn't make you less patriotic. It doesn't make you a bad Christian, or it doesn't make you a better Christian. The opposite could be true. I know some Christians have sort of smugly, well, I won't vote for that bad character, so I'm a better Christian. It's like, no, that's nonsense. God will lead each of us as we seek him to the right decision that we need to make for ourselves in this case. And that's okay. I don't know. Jason, what are your thoughts on that? I think we're a little bit different in this, but also pretty much the same.
Yeah, well, first I'll say, well, we're similar, definitely in the sense that we both agree character matters and leaders. I mean, you just look at the Bible, and it's interesting when you study 1 Samuel, for example, gives us a character study of two men. Both of them are appointed by God. Again, there's God establishing governing authorities. They're both appointed by God to be king of Israel. Now, one of them outwardly fits the bill perfectly. King Saul looks the part of a king. Everybody loves King Saul initially. Turns out he's not a good guy. He's not a good guy for a lot of reasons. He's selfish. He's egocentrical. He's very dishonoring to God in the way he deals with the nation that God has given him to lead. There's so many flaws in Saul that it's hard to count. You go through that book, you see them, and God even says he regrets appointing Saul. Now, we're not going to get into a larger issue. I'll just say for the time being that that's not God making a mistake. But it is him truly regretting what Saul has become. And God knew Saul would end up that way, but he truly regretted that. And that's, in other words, it grieved God's heart that Saul would go that route. David, on the other hand, And I'm talking about the David of 1 Samuel. David, on the other hand, is such a stark contrast to Saul. Here's a guy who he cares about God's honor. He puts God's glory first, even when he's given opportunities to make a big name for himself and really usurp the throne. He says, no, I'm not going to go about it that way. I want to honor God in this. That's what matters to me. And the message from 1 Samuel, you see this in the book of Kings, 1st, 2nd Kings, Chronicles as well. There are very few men in power who are willing to put the honor of God first and the needs of others before their own needs, and maybe even before their own reputation. And that is... It's one of those things where it's sad, but it's sad to see how often character marred these kings of Israel, and it's sad today to see how often bad character mars the leaders around the world and in our own country. So for me, I look at it as it's a big issue. Character is a big issue, and I can remember even as a young kid, when Clinton scandals came to light, I remember that was like always talked about. I remember thinking like, wow, that this guy's a bad dude, because I was, hearing everything about his character, and that was kind of the world I was in. Like, that was the big focus from the Christian community, was his character and his lack of values. And I will say that it's sad to see bad character in any leaders. And it's not just Clinton, to be clear. There are lots of, and again, there's certain things that we will never know about certain leaders, about their character flaws. We only know about what's come to light, right? So one thing we have to remember in all this is to not put our confidence in mere men, like I said, mere men or women, because we are deeply flawed. And leaders are often very deeply flawed. And so we have to keep that in mind as we're voting, that our confidence is in God. And so when I vote, I pay attention to the person's character, I pay attention to their policies, and I pay attention to what will happen to the future of our country if one or the other gets elected. Those are the things that weigh on me. Because again, you got to remember, 4 years, it's not that it's not... it's really not that long of a time when you think about it. 4 years goes by in a flash in our lives, but it can make a big difference. And you look at terrible leaders throughout history, you see what damage they can cause in 4 years. So when you elect or when you vote for somebody like the president or a senator or somebody along those lines, you're not voting them in for life. And for that, I am thankful. That's a tribute to, I think, the good design of the framers and the founders of our country. Because the checks and balances in place account, in a sense, for bad character, and that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so, again, for me, that's all the more reason to vote. But it's also a reason to consider, okay, character matters, but we also have to consider what is the direction that the nation will go in. How big are the policies going to affect the nation of these different candidates? And so, yeah, I would say all of those factor into my thinking. And you're right, Jamie. We agree on this absolutely. It's not an easy decision. It's not an easy decision to vote for anyone when you account for the fact that these are flawed people I'm casting a vote for. So, whoever you vote for, you should be thinking in that way, that this person is flawed.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to keep in mind for sure. That because I think it's easy, Jason, to sort of get in the mindset of like, because think about this, if your life was put on full display, like a presidential candidate's life is, or a Senate candidate or a congressional candidate, if your life was put up, like, I know for me, I would not want that. And of course, you're going to find a lot of things, a lot of issues, a lot of character mistakes, you know, hopefully in the past, but there's that reality of like, yeah, none of us come out clean. So we don't ever come at this from a perspective of, oh, I'm too good for this, or I'm better than them. I mean, just imagine, you know, when you start thinking about, man, if this was you, you know, and some of these times, some of these things, you often will see accusations against candidates. It's like, well, when they were, you know, 20 years ago, they said or did, or, you know, and you think of, I mean, how many times have you said something that you totally regretted? How many times, you know, 10 years later, did you say things that you're like, man, I can't even believe I ever said that, or I ever believed that, or I ever acted that way, or, you know, and that's a part of a normal growth process. And this is part of, you know, the grace of God is he doesn't hold everything we've done, you know, every sin against us. You know, it's not like that old traditional, like, well, you did this, you know, every time it's brought up again. And so we shouldn't hold that to a candidate as well. I think one of the questions that you mentioned, Jason, is a really good one. What will be the result if I don't? And I want to make clear, you know, in my particular context, just because I didn't vote for Trump, it doesn't mean I voted for his opponent. In my mind, I mean, I can't rationally justify voting for somebody who supports abortion of any kind. I mean, the murder and destruction of humans, the Bible is so clear about the value of human life. And so, but then you also have the other side, which is, you know, 1 Corinthians 6, for example, or no, 1 Corinthians 5, where the Apostle Paul asked the question, isn't it better to be wronged than to forfeit your witness? And so I guess the point Jason and I are trying to make here is to say that this is a decision you have to make before God, and you have to consider all these different factors in that decision. So we're not saying, you know, we're showing you, hey, here's an example of two guys who podcast together. One of them chose not to vote for Trump. One of them chose to vote for Trump. Now, in my case, like I said, I didn't vote for Trump's opponent. I voted for a very good, godly alternative. And the point is just to say, like, hey, we want to encourage better character. Of course, you know, Trump will never know, we'll never have a chance to talk. Though, if we ever did have a chance to talk, I would certainly encourage him towards Christ and godly character for sure. But, you know, all that to say, he's not going to call me up to chat anytime soon. So, but Jason, how do we deal with and wrestle through, like, I know, some Christians who ask the question, you know, I believe, or I support, say, like, the Democratic Party on all these social issues other than, like, abortion or marriage, or, you know, they want to see all this good stuff brought about, and so they're tempted to vote for these candidates, but then, of course, are caught in that moral quandrum as well on the other side of, yeah, but what about the murder of humans? What about the advocacy of these policies that are very ungodly? What's a Christian response on that side as well?
Yeah, well, I know, like, on the front burner, if we're just, you know, putting things out there, like, racial justice is a big topic for this election. And I know that's come up so much. You know, we've even covered it some on our podcast. You can go back and listen to what we talked about. But what I would say in addition to that is there's, while that is a big issue, we don't want to forget other issues that are also super important. And for me, when I think of primarily the issue of abortion, for me, life comes first. That's when you're okay with the government support of taking life in the womb, unborn humans. Then I think that, yeah, I think that is that's murder. I think that is wrong. Now, to be clear, when I say murder, I'm talking about it's taking of actual human life. I don't think it's at the point where we wouldn't understand it in the same way of charging abortion doctors with homicide for a number of reasons we could get into sometime. But I still say it's killing, it's taking a human life, and it's absolutely against the will of God. It's wrong. And for all those reasons, I'm going to be voting in support of life for this election cycle every way I can, because I put that first.
You haven't voted yet. What a slacker.
Yeah. Yeah. But I look at all these other issues, and I don't say that's not important. I just say that's the number one issue for me in my own convictional set, if you will. That's number one. There's a lot of other reasons why I could vote for one or the other, but that's just the number one issue for me.
I think too, another thing, Jason, is we talk a lot about elections and voting and choices, but. And I'll say this is true of myself as well. I often forget to be actively, regularly in prayer for, you know, not just the outcome of the election, though certainly that's part of it. Lord, bring about the kind of God-seeking leadership that would be a blessing to this nation. Like, you know, Jason pointed out, where there is good godly leadership, the people prosper, the city prospers. There's actually a verse that speaks to that. I forget off the top of my head. Do you remember which one that is, Jason?
When you work for the good of the city, are you talking about Jeremiah 29?
There's one that speaks to leadership, how, you know, the wise leaders are a blessing to the city or something like that.
Yes.
I'm sure it's Proverbs something or another. Anyway, but so there's an imperative I feel like for us that we so often overlook. At least I have a tendency to do this. Like, I'll pray for our leaders, I'll pray for this country, I'll pray for the hearts of people. And then I sort of, you know, get slack again and then forget. And then it becomes, you know, not as high a priority in terms of my prayer life, especially when there's just so many new prayer requests all the time. It's so easy to forget. But we got to, as the people of God, we have got to be seriously, actively in prayer over all of this stuff all the time.
Yeah, and I absolutely. And I would just add, if you find yourself, you know, whether you watch, you know, local news or cable news network and or Fox News or whatever you watch, if you find your blood pressure rising, then maybe just take, you know, step away, turn that off, and find time for prayer. That absolutely is the number one thing we should be doing. We should pray for fair elections. We should pray, most importantly, that God is glorified in this election cycle, and to not put more weight into this election than God's glory. In other words, we shouldn't make this a higher priority than honoring God. And that, just keeping that in mind, that there are ways we can witness to the world by not being so caught up in the election fever that seems to be affecting the whole nation right now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.